Hello, idealists. It's Izzy here. Welcome to today's session. I cannot wait to see you. It feels like ages since we've been together, and it hasn't been that long at all since our Q&A call. Let's go ahead and enable your cameras so that I can see your gorgeous faces. We have some apologies. Karen, Julie, and Sean couldn't be here today, so hopefully they're listening to the recording. And great, I can see, I'm going to sound like Romper Room, Sonia and Christy Lee and Anna and Joe and Kay and Viv are here. Great, and I'm sure there's a few people still making their way here. I'm sounding a little choppy apparently. Okay, I don't know what's going on. Nothing has changed about our internet, but we noticed when we were in rehearsal morning that it was breaking up a little bit. So just check me if you're having trouble hearing me, but I will press on. I will press on. Okay, so hi. welcome. We haven't seen Anna for a little bit. Good to have you back, Anna. And let's have a look at what we're covering today. We have a few ideal moments that I'll be going over in a moment. We are talking about people. So we are diving into the people growth zone, which is going to be our whole business focus for the next month. There's going to be some things for you to do. There's some action I'm going to want you to take or to consider taking. And then I'll give you a few updates about what's next before we go. Now, as I said, we are diving into this growth zone, not only here, but across the whole of her business. And I feel like this growth zone that we're going to be talking about today and all month is one of the keys to really getting the transformation that you want in your business, getting clear that for us to grow sustainable businesses, that we need to step more and more into a leadership role and out of the day-to-day as much as possible. So obviously we go deeper here in the Ideal Business Accelerator than we do with the general membership. And we will have a Q&A call in a couple of weeks all around this growth zone as well so that we can dive deeper. But I know this is a topic that concerns all of us here in the group. Sometimes we're working on a project, sometimes we're just in maintenance, but when it comes to people, it's an ever-present part of our business that we want to be focusing on. So the people growth zone, what do I want to say about that? As we work through our growth zones, we find different areas that we're strong at and some that we're not at. And for me, certainly when I started my business, this was one that was not my strength at all. Marketing was my strength, the growth zone was my strength, systems were my strength, but people and money were probably where I was weakest, if I don't even know if weakest is the right term. So it's an area I've really come to grow into and to love more and more because it's been the thing that's made the difference to me. And so for the first 2 years of business, well, it started off and it was me and PJ, and then we brought in friends who would come in and do a day here or help out there or a few hours there. And it took us 2 years before we brought on our first full-time person. And we stopped hiring friends. Well, we didn't stop hiring friends, actually. I've hired friends over many, many years, but we stopped relying on the favors of friends and started to get sort of real about, okay, what roles do we need in the business? And I'm going to show you our organizational chart today and talk a little more about that. We are going to be applying the Ideal Business System to this growth zone and demonstrating why we start with identifying what people do we need on board, whether they're staff, whether they're contractors, whether they're suppliers, because for us to get our projects done, it's often going to require more than just us. So we are going to, and not so much in this session, but I'm going to be asking you to apply this lens of the Ideal Business System to who do I need in my team? What does my team need to look like? Designing that organizational chart, and whether it's, as I said, your core team or your suppliers, then looking at who and what do I need to engage before you're taking action. And leverage is, people are leverage. Your team is your leverage. So that is one for those of you who already have a team, which a number of you do, is like, how do I further leverage other people's time to help me grow my business? Before we dive into all that, we have a few ideal moments, and I was hoping Liz was going to be here. Hey, Judy. Hey, Maria. But I don't know if you saw it, but Liz wrote a really beautiful, heartfelt post. If we could go to that next, you're not going to be able to read it right here, but it is inside the group. A really heartfelt post about where she's been, and she's been in a feeling, she says, less than enthusiastic about getting back into business. And she's got a bunch of stuff going on personally. She switched off social media over the holidays. Good for her. Robert, I'm getting a message that my connection is unstable. Do you mind messaging someone here to see if they can have a look at what that is? But what she did do is she did reach out and make an offer of a course. So she managed to get herself together enough to put out an offer. And she got 9 people who are looking that like go through her beta course. She said it's low cost. She's keeping it very, very simple. No landing pages, no videos, all that stuff. Just a very simple offer to try this idea. She's using that minimal viable product idea that we've talked about here in Ideal. And so I'm very, very happy for you, Liz. And it's wonderful to hear from you and get that update. And I know PJ encouraged you to go ahead and post. And I appreciate that so much. And if you haven't read Liz's post, do go ahead and do that. We had a couple of requests for feedback. This one from Maria, which I responded to overnight. And if you haven't seen it yet, Maria's going to run her challenge again, which I'm very excited about. And so, Maria, as I said, go with what you've got, do scan. And if you want to charge it for it next time. But I would be focusing on what can you learn from last time. One, let's get as many people as possible. Two, let's focus on your offer once they're inside the challenge. The next one here was renaming of a private Facebook group, and that was from Chandra. Got some really, really great feedback. You can see that one more votes than anything else. And naming things can always be a little bit tricky because it really depends who you ask as to the quality of the feedback you're going to get. Now, Chandra, if you're doing the Content Sales Master Course, which I think you might be doing, this is a question you might want to also pose in that group because there's a lot of great marketers, and it is more people who are focused on marketing. Because sometimes when we ask our ideal clients what we should name something, depends, right? Whether they're going to be able to do that with us or not. You just, you know, I'm always open to getting feedback, but you want to know who you're asking. Help me pick the best image. I love these photos. Karina looked amazing in these photos. My favorite was that one that you're seeing as a big picture there with the red earrings, but she just looks stunning. And these are going to be so good for you, and you're going to be able to use them for a good probably 3-4 years before you might think, oh, look, I don't look like that anymore, or I need to have a fresher look. So use these far and wide and be consistent about where you use them as well. You choose one as your profile pic, then have that on all your channels. Right. And I was encouraging Karina and all of you on your Facebook page, rather than putting your logo, put your face. It just adds a human element to it. Now, Sonia said that she had a small win, but I think it was a big win. And this was sending out a newsletter and getting a client, right, or getting a client at least inquiring to do business. You might want to give us a nod. Has that moved forward? Yes. Fantastic, right? So the more we communicate with our clients, the better. And a newsletter is kind of an old-fashioned type of thing, but it doesn't matter. It's a communication so that people remember you. One of my good friends, Susan Bradley, who is has got a business called Social Sales Girls. I think a couple of you are part of that. She's an e-commerce specialist. And so she always talks about with e-commerce that frequency and recency are two key elements for turning a prospect into a client. But that applies to all of us. How recently have they heard from you, and how often do they hear from you? And rather over-communicate than be out of touch. This happens. They'll go, oh, I did need Sonia's service. All right, very, very good. That's the news. I've just finished checking out our internet. That's awesome. Let's talk a little more about the People Growth Zone. So this is how you hire people, you train them, you motivate them, even how you make decisions about when is the right time to bring someone on. And that could be a bookkeeper, writer, a designer, someone to clean the office so that you're not doing it, a recruiter. Could be an outward-facing role or it could be an inward-facing role. But people are essential if we're going to grow a business. And I want you all to hear that. I don't know a sustainable business that has grown over time that didn't involve bringing more people on board and more resources. Because we can't be good at everything. And a little later on, I'll share with you one of the very first books I read that really got me clear on what role am I playing in my business. And here in my business, as you know, and here in Ideal, we talk about this transition from solopreneur to entrepreneur. And here on our little diagram, you can see where you are, where you want to be. We want to move closer and closer to business owner. And you'll see even by the little diagrams, the solopreneur is solo. Maybe they've got a virtual assistant, maybe they've got a small team, but ultimately, if you are still the brains in your organization, if a lot of the responsibility and the tasks fall on your hands, then you're sitting more in that solopreneur area than the business owner. And some of you have had previous businesses, some of you, the businesses have changed over time. So I, right now in her business, am far more on the solopreneur side of things than when I had my business powwow events, when I had a CEO and I had 8 middle managers and 45 staff. It was very much more leverage. Now, when I'll show you my org chart, you'll see it's a little flatter structure. I have far more people reporting directly to me, but it matches kind of the size of this organization, and it's just different to when we had all those big resources that we don't need right now, nor can this business sustain those sorts of resources. So solopreneur on one side, business owner on the other side. Solopreneur, again, in case anybody doesn't know, is where you are doing a lot of what is required to not only do the thinking work, but also the doing work. When you're here, you're likely not doing your, I was going to try and reach for a book, your queen bee role, which is what Mike Michalowicz talks about in his Clockwork presentation, which is that each of us in our business, whether it's you or one of your team, has a role that if we are not fulfilling, we are not serving the business. And I know for me, that role is being here, speaking to you, it's creating content, it's growing our audience, and being the face of the organization. But my role very much is about content creation. Now, I also have a queen bee role that's around managing team, so I'm a little split around that, but I know what my role is. And I know that for Donna, our bookkeeper, if she's not getting the bookkeeping done because she's distracted being asked to do other things, she's not doing her queen bee role. If JC isn't setting up our emails and campaigns because she's busy doing something else, she's not doing her queen bee role. So whether there's one of you or two of you in the organization or 22, you want to make sure that people know what their roles are to move you further and further away from this solopreneur role. Business owner, other people's time is your greatest asset. And so whether that's suppliers, we're going to talk a little bit about outsourcing. Business is a team sport. I learned that from my mentor, Robert Kiyosaki, who does nothing in his business other than his key role. But he's always done that. Like he never, even when they started Rich Dad Company, he never answered a phone. He never did customer service. He had one role, and that is to be the face of the business and to be on stage and delivering content, and built the business from the start, even when there were very little resources, exactly like that. So when we look at our entrepreneur to business owner model, this is one you've seen before. We're on the left are all the listed or the solopreneur qualities, and on the right. And now this is, of course, across all growth zones. I've highlighted there that business owners create a team and they spend time at the highest level. And even though you're not there right now, you might not be as close to there as you want to be, or you just want to up level a little bit because some of you have got a lot of team. This is just about continuing to think about that business owners create teams. I'm just going to turn off my Dropbox just in case that's causing an issue. And they spend time at the highest level. So, is this all making sense so far? All right, great. So the goal, there's a few goals, but the goals are stopping doing everything yourself, moving out of the technician role, which is a model that I'll talk about later, but this is the doer. And more into a manager or a leader role, spending more time on your business than in your business, which I know over the last year and 2 years for some of you, we've been working together, you have done more and more of this. You have leveraged yourself. You've put in systems. You've got long-term plans. And so you are doing some of this, but the goal is to continue to move further into this. Stop doing the unimportant work and using your time to the best advantage of the business and getting away from being the business. That's the main thing. Be the whole business, instead running the business and really seeing it as this separate entity that needs to be able to work without your input every single day. And of course, this is an aspiration, this is a goal, there's steps that we can take, and I'm going to give you some resources today to move closer and closer to that. Now, oh, great. Oh, look at all these names. I'm so glad you're here. So, in the chat, would you tell me, other than yourself or including yourself, how many people do you consider are on your core team right now? including yourself, how many people are on your team? Now, if you have a virtual assistant, then that's going to be one other person. If you have a supplier that is a core part of your team, maybe they're not on payroll, you want to count them as well. So go ahead and put that number, including yourself, how many people are on your team? Maria's solo, Angela says there's two people. What about the rest of you? Christy Lee says three, Anna James says four, we're going up. Anyone got five? Joe is one. Okay, so she's on her other. So Joe, I thought you had your daughter working with you. Maybe you don't. Sonia says she has seven contractors, not including herself. So that's eight. Sonia Falorta says two. Viv says five. Great. Deb says two, three in a few weeks. Contractors are part-time, says Sonia. Got it. Judy says five. Joe says, yes, I do, but she's on maternity leave at the moment. But good. That means you have grandchildren. All right. Great. So that gives me an idea of where you're at. And I don't know, but I think Karen and Jane have teams, as substantial teams as well. I'm pretty sure Julie is a solopreneur. But I'll ask this question. Rob, maybe you can take a note. Let's ask this question also inside the group so we get a sense of who's here. So you're not going to be at all surprised to find out that where I start when it comes to thinking about people is planning. Love a good plan, including a people plan. So it starts with having a people plan, right? So what is your plan about people? Now, we have been over the last couple of months talking about planning. Many of you have got your 2020 plan. And so when it comes to resourcing that plan, people are going to be a part of it, whether they're staff or whether they are suppliers. And just so you know, I think about my suppliers and my staff in the very same way, in that they all, when we look at some of those things that you want to be doing with your people, whether it's briefing people, bringing them on board, letting them go, making sure that we're communicating. It's the same for me, whether they're a copywriter I'm working with temporarily or whether they're on board part-time or whether they're on board full-time. Maria says, planning for people really hit home for me in your interview with Chantel. Right, so yesterday I interviewed Chantel Gilbert about her fast-growing business called Blue Gum Electrical, and that is inside of a member group. So do have a look at that. She is growing by leaps and bounds, and it's all down to people. And she talks about the mistake she made of hiring too late, you know, and that was really strangling the business because she couldn't deliver what she was promising. Okay. So it starts with planning. So you know our planning framework. We've already done that, and now we're executing. So when you look at your big projects for the year, I want you to start thinking about, and you look at all those zillions of actions, what people resources am I going to need in order to execute this plan? Because it's all well and good for us to plan for the year, but if we're planning to do more things, bigger things, different things, perhaps we're trying a new marketing channel or we're bringing on a new product line, we want to expand to another state, we want to consider what people are we going to need. So right now we're working on our business growth summit. So our team is essentially the same. Now some of the team who are part-time are going to be doing some extra hours and days, especially over the next couple of weeks. We are sort of full to here with tasks at the moment. One of the tasks that I really needed was I needed something designed. So we've used Fiverr. We've got a designer on our team, but they're so full. I need some copy for some emails. So I've got a copywriter doing that. So they're not on board all the time, but for this project, which is part of our strategic objective of building our audience and building our list, it needed additional resources. So we're bringing those in. There might be other resources that we'll bring in the next couple of weeks. The other people that are part of my Business Growth Summit project is my mastermind. So I've just been in San Diego. And so one of the things I did in our hot seat and in the conversations is I was tapping those resources, people who they haven't necessarily done summits, but they're doing some really cool marketing things. And I've been tapping their brains around, okay, I want to do this. Have you done this? How do you do it? So those people are part of my team for this particular project in a kind of hands-off way, but I just wanted you to understand that I do think beyond who am I paying a salary to when it comes to my team. And it starts with planning, knowing that I'm going to take on this project, who are the people I need? So some questions to ask yourself, and you'll have a copy of this so you can sort of hark back to them if you need to. Like, what are my big plans for the year? What are my strategic objectives? What projects am I working on? And what staff resources will I need to execute these projects? you also want to ask what budget time systems do I need? Because if you have the budget, then you can bring on those additional resources. And if you don't, then you might scale the project back, or you might figure out that I need a little more time so that I can have more resources so that I can afford the person to do the landing page, etc. So it's just really thinking, stopping thinking that I can do everything, and really thinking about how can I do this? Who do I need on my team to do this? And when you've planned, you're going to know the right time to bring in those resources. So that copywriter we brought on a week before last, and now she started delivering the emails that we need, that we are now starting to push out. I didn't need her a month ago. I couldn't do anything with her. I didn't have anything for her to write. And likewise with you, when you look at your projects that you want to do this year, looking at when do I need to think about the resource that I need or have that budget for them, right? So that you can plan. So it's about using that ideal business system, identifying what people you need, designing the structure of the people for any particular project, even if it's just writing it down, even if it is, I'm putting out a new lead magnet, who are the people I need? And it might need a designer, a copywriter, a proofreader, but these can double up. I need someone to set up the lead page. I need someone to set up my MailChimp. Now, these are all hats that someone needs to wear. You might, for the most part, wear a lot of those hats, but until you break it down into the different roles, you cannot hand anything off, right? Because people cannot leverage what is in your head. And so this is where you're designing your people structure. Then you can engage the right people. Then you can get into action, right? And that's where you see your leverage. Next thing, a planning culture. I've talked about planning. You want to develop with your team, whether it's one other person or five other people, a planning culture. And here's what I mean by that, that you don't just plan on your own. Now, you might do your big picture visioning, but like Tracy from Zytek, some of you know Tracy, you've met her at the One Days. She just recently, over the break, she did her vision for the year. And now she spent a day, maybe 2 days, with her team planning out the year. And so you might have done your team, but you want to bring people into your plan. So you bring your team in on it. You might set the vision, but you can have them help you fill in the gaps. So even if they are contractors, especially with contractors, because quite often they're freelancing, they're not committed. If you're the person they contract to, who tells them the big vision, who shows them where they are, which cog in the overall machine they are and how important their role is, you will get more out of them. One of the categories of team that we sometimes have throughout the year is interns. You can bet our interns sit in on staff meetings, they're there for the briefings, they have a role description, they have responsibilities, and they know that they're an important part of the overall project that they're working on. So sometimes we can be protective as owners of our projects, and we kind of keep it all a little close to our chest. You want to bring the team in on it, but you have to have clarity around it, right? But you want to get their buy-in. And that begins with starting with the end in mind, knowing, having a planning culture, being able to go to your team, even if it's one other person, and say, hey, these are the projects that we're working on this year. And here's what I'm thinking around this one. Do you have any additional thoughts? But letting them know ahead of time, even if it's, you have to revisit it. So our team, like we've talked about our five key projects for the year already, and they know when they're coming up. They don't know all the details yet. We haven't nutted those out, but they know that in September, October, we're going to open up membership. They know that we've got the Reach Retreat at the end of October. They know that we're opening the doors to Mastermind again in June, right? So they can kind of mentally know what they should be thinking about as well. Then we can get down to the nitty-gritty. But it starts with planning. And as I said, not just saying, this is the plan. Now you're going to do the heavy lifting, right? If you don't have a general manager or a 2IC or someone that can do all the planning for you, you're going to do the heavy lifting of designing the plan. What campaigns you're going to do, what sales you're going to have, which exhibitions you're going to be at, etc. You want to do the heavy lifting, but you want to not keep that close to your chest, right? You want to let people in as early as possible on that. And there's a few tools that can help you do that. Just simple tools, like having a shared calendar. So you have your Her Business calendar, many of you, right? It could be a matter of walking people through that. Here's the plan for the year, and here's where the big components are. And it's never too late to bring someone into that discussion. Even if it's in June and you have a new staff member, take them through the June to December part of the plan. Let them know the order of things. So for us, you know, the team needs to know, when is book club? When are we opening the doors to goals groups? When are we doing our different programs? When are the courses? What lead magnets? When? Right? When are your marketing cycles? The things that are going to be more, that are not business as usual. If you have a widget business and you sell the same thing day in, day out, great. You're probably not in this course though. Likely you have, you every day your bread and butter services, but occasionally you're doing things that are going to require different level of input from the team. And so we have business as usual. We're answering the phones every day. We're delivering our programs, but something like the summit for us brings everything to a peak. This is where everyone knows on a day-to-day basis what is happening and what's required of them. Briefings. So if you don't have a shared calendar, I would definitely get one. Briefings. This is really important. Now, this is one that I'm not always great at, but I am better at it than I was a year ago, than I was 2 years ago. Because briefings are what is going to give you that space and time. They take time. And that's one of the reasons that I haven't always done them, is to think through the briefing and to be able to identify what are the gaps in our knowledge, what are the gaps in our resources, what questions does the team have. When I go to my mastermind, I come back with an idea, like one that I have for Summit, and I'm like, we're going to do this. And they're like, okay, great, but how does that work, right? That's going to take a briefing. This is what it is. This is how it works. This is what it isn't. This is your responsibility. This is not your responsibility. And regrouping regularly and briefing. Now, this is not a reason to have extended, convoluted meetings. This is a way to say, this is the project. Here are the parameters. Here's how it works. Do you have any questions? Do you have any input? And so before we launch into Summit, we have a briefing meeting. Before we launch into any of our big campaigns that are out of the day-to-day, we have a briefing. And often it's accompanied by a slide deck that breaks it up into the key areas, starting with what is the purpose of this project? Why are we doing this? And so for us, as you know, one of our strategic objectives again this year is to grow our audience, and grow our list. So it becomes clear, why are we doing the summit? We're doing it to generate leads and build our audience. Great. Does it have a secondary purpose? Yes. At the end of summit, we're going to invite people to join our membership. How many days is it? How long does it go? Is it online? Is it offline? How do people get in? Are we advertising? What sort of budget do we have for ads? What sort of needs do we have as far as resources? And that's where we would identify, you know what, we're going to need a copywriter because we don't have enough resources. We're going to need an extra designer because we don't have enough resources. But the briefing is how I get really clear on what's involved in a project and where there might be bottlenecks. Right now, to be really honest, I'm one of the bottlenecks in this project because there's too many things sitting on my plate. There's too many things that the team is waiting on for me to do before they can do their thing, right? So that's where I said to you, I'm sitting more on the solopreneur than the business owner. I am. I'm under-resourced right now for this particular project. So I am doing longer hours and just trying to be smarter about how I use my time. Because while I am in there doing things like I'm doing like designing processes or those sorts of things, I am not being at the front promoting. I'm not doing my QBR role. I'm not doing what is going to be the highest leverage. And so I'm having a real reality check right now. Like I know the next 3 weeks are going to be a little bit stressful because there's a lot of tasks sitting on Susie's to-do list. And then there's, you know, it's a cascading effect, right? Because there might be things that you're bottlenecking. How many of you have ever been a bottleneck in your business? Anyone? Okay. Right. You know, when something's sitting with you, the next person can't get on with it. So I, you know, just this morning I was writing myself a list and I was going, okay, what can I get off my plate? What can, you know, who isn't at capacity on the team who could do something? What is it possible for me to outsource that I'm not already? And so I didn't recognize that in the briefing, but there's going to be a rebriefing. Okay. We are now 2 weeks out from the summit. Where do we need to be? Let's look at what our key priorities are going to be. Okay, so we have a team meeting tomorrow morning. The key focus is going to be the summit and just rebriefing the team on what does it look like now that we have our speakers, now that we're 2 weeks away, what needs to be happening. I'll come back to communication later, because that is key when it comes to the people growth zone. And then project management software, which we talked a little bit about when we talked about our planning, really looking at how does the team know what to do, right? Because walking past someone's desk and saying, hey, that's right, can you please write me an email to go to our members, that is not a system. That is not a reliable way to get an outcome from a team member. So that's why we use project management systems. That's why we have timelines. That's why we use different tools so things do not get missed. I'm going to talk about people a little more in just a minute, but this is so key. I've had that happen to me, you know, when I was an employee. Someone walked past and then I'm supposed to remember what you just told me to do, but it's not, doesn't exist anywhere else. It's not written down anywhere. It's not part of a process. It's not in a project management, right? And that's how things get missed. And so for us, part of people working on in our business is using our project management software really for everything, whether producing a podcast episode, whether it's the weekly newsletter, whether it's the summit we're working on, whether it's launching a new course, whether it's delivering a course, everything that is task-oriented lives inside that project and is assigned to a person. Because people cannot guess what's inside your head. And briefing someone just verbally, in my experience, is not enough. There needs to be a backup. We're in a team meeting this morning and I was rattling off to one of our staff members who is our sort of junior designer. I'm like, okay, these are your key priorities for the day. And I said, check the Slack channel because I've outlined them there. Because he wasn't writing them down. He was nodding. Yep, got it. The minute we, you know, would have closed the software, the call, he'd be like, maybe he'd remember three of the five things I said to him. But they were documented. So there's no... I'm not putting the responsibility totally on him to remember. We have a system. All right, let's talk a little more about people. People are fabulous. We love our people. They can frustrate the hell out of us. But here's what we do need to do as owners. We need to figure out how to attract, manage, and keep our people. Now, you've heard me say this story before. After I'd hired my fourth receptionist in less than 6 months, I figured out the common denominator was me. And that I was expecting these people, they got the job as a receptionist. Surely they know what to do. Surely they know how to answer the phone, how to take a message, how to transfer a call, how to greet a person at the front desk. But they did not. They did. They had some level of skill, but they didn't know the way that we wanted to do it. And so I'm going to talk a little more about that, but not in depth here. But attracting, it's like I was talking to Chantel yesterday, as Maria mentioned, we are always recruiting. You are always recruiting. Even if you don't have an open position at the moment, you are always want to be someone that people will want to work for. So you always want to be attractive and you also want to be on the lookout. You might be out at a restaurant and you get exceptional service from someone at the front desk. You want to think they might make a great front person for me. Right? You just keep your attention out for good people. But having an attraction strategy, there is so much choice for employees. How do you make yourself attractive? This is where your marketing can come into it a little bit as well. So you need to know, well, how do I recruit someone? How do I attract someone? Managing is kind of the everyday work. How do I manage people? And as entrepreneurs, we're not often the very best managers. This is something that we need to figure out. And then keeping. And, you know, we are very lucky. We have people on my current team, including my extended team, who have been with me 20 years, 13 years, 12 years. I think the newest person we have is Jenny. She just started in the last year. But otherwise, everyone's been with us a number of years. And there's a great opportunity for everyone with that. One is that people get more confident in their own skills. They know that they play a big part in your business. They know the business backwards, right? They know each other. They build relationships. They have safety. They have reliability in their lives. But you also want to know when it's time to not keep someone. And I know, again, I have been guilty, especially in the early days when I was a little more desperate around needing team, that I have kept people who were just not the right people for the role, kept them way too long. Has anyone kept someone way too long? Anyone else? Just me? But that takes an art, right? Because we're stepping into a leadership role. It's different. This is what my team looks like most days now. Very different to the teams I've had in the past. Robin, can you change the slide? Because it's not making sense. Thank you. We're partly virtual. So we have people here in the office. You can see that top left-hand corner. And then I must have been out of the office that day. Where was I? I was overseas. And so we have this virtual meeting. It adds some complexities to leadership, but it calls on you to be a bigger leader. And for many of you, you're going to have a team that is dispersed, just like I do. I was talking to one of our members the other day who works 3 days a week for the government. And she said 5 years ago, she could not get a government, that same government job, because there was a culture around you have to be in an office, whereas that's changed now. But what we need to do as leaders with a virtual team, they're pretty much the same as if the person is sitting in the cubicle next to you, but it just takes a little more thought to make sure people feel included, and there are communication systems, and they are in the know, and they are briefed, because that's going to help them. That's that keep part. A lot of what we do, we can attract people, we can manage them, and I think, you know, the attract part is, I think, the easiest part. It's the managing and the keeping that is trickier. There's a book that I read, I don't know, 25 years ago, show my age, called The E-Myth. Who's read The E-Myth? Can I get a show of hands? Yeah, great. It's a really old book, but what it does, in fact, I think it's the 30-year edition just came out recently, and it really identifies this idea about stepping into leadership, because it talks about the difference between being a technician, the person that does the doing, a manager, and an entrepreneur. He might use a slightly different word, but they're very different roles. And many of us start in our businesses as the technician. We're doing the doingness. And that's a very different role to being the entrepreneur or being the manager. Now, I sit somewhere between manager and entrepreneur, but I do some technician as well. Which one do you fit in at the moment? Go ahead and put something in chat. Viv says yes and always regretted it. Yeah, that's the holding on to people when you know you should let them go. Yeah, so how many of you are sitting in technician or manager or entrepreneur? Viv says too much technician. That's what sort of grind, that's the grind. The grind is being too much in technician. But we're kind of all in the same boat. But, you know, we have a vision. Yeah, Christy Lee says technician right now, technician. Yeah, anyone more in management and less in, Anna says some management, great. Yeah. Great. And I'm sure there's others here or who couldn't be here today who fit into that role. And so it really is a transition. And some of it is really about what's happening in our heads, because it's easier in some ways to take the to-do list and do the to-dos than it is to build yourself up as a leader, to work more on communication, to get yourself out there, to bring in the new business, to then step into the entrepreneurial role where you're really relying on other people to do the doingness. So much of it is retraining ourselves, and some of it is resources, right? So like I said, when I had 45 staff and a CEO and I was living in a different country and the businesses were still running, very, very different to right now. And for a lot of us, we have to play all three roles, but this is just about checking every day. Which role am I sitting in? Do I have to be the technician right now? Do I have to do the doingness, or is there someone else that can do that? And some of us get into this trap of, oh, by the time I explain it to him, I might as well do it myself. But that is a trap. You have to know that is a trap. But what's going to get you out of that is taking time on the planning and the strategizing so that you can see, oh, that's going to be a role that I really need to have someone else do. Sonia says, yes, still technician, but planning to transform to management, but will take a year, right? And Judy says, more tech than I should be. And Joe says, entrepreneur technician. And Sonia says, I've underestimated how long this process can take, can be just meant to have systems in place first too. Yes, it goes back to that planning and using your ideal system, identifying the roles, determining what the roles are, what does each person do? And then deciding who you want to engage. You're almost, you know, better off, you know, sometimes it's like building a house and you tack on rooms. How much nicer is it to have a bare piece of land that you design, an architect designs a house on and you build it? So sometimes our teams become these hodgepodge additions. And sometimes, you know, it is easier when it's a clean slate and you start again. Or you just define, we'll do that in a minute, define what it is that you want and build that team. And it does take longer than we think sometimes. And a lot of that, you know, starts with the way we think. Excuse me. So this is some of my teams over the years. Some of these are really old photos. But, you know, we've been a team of two, a team of five right now here at Hope Business. We're a team of nine, I think. You know, and as I said, it's been big teams. And I love them all. you know, some people have come and stayed, some people have come and gone, but I wouldn't run a business without a team, to be honest. I would never be a solopreneur and a consultant or something like that. I don't know. I can't imagine it, not in this lifetime anyway. I really believe business is a team sport, and there is so much I cannot do. I just can't, not because I don't have time, just because I don't have the skill set or I'm not the best person for it. And so for me, it's always about team. Having said that, I do solo sports, like I run. But when it comes to business, I like team. All right. So let's talk about roles. Who's got an organizational chart? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Does anyone have an organizational chart? Nobody. One. Chris Lee has. Okay, great. So here is an organizational chart for, I just wrote that as an action, says Chandra. So right now you might be wearing every single role, right? If we were wearing a hat and said my role is, you might be wearing all the hats. And what your org chart's going to look like. Now, this is an example from a really smart guy called Justin, and I've just lost his last name. It'll come to me. This is a org chart for a business that is a training on the front end and lots of content. So that org chart is his $5 million org chart. So he's got a $5 million business. That's his org chart. And you'll be able to blow this up and look at closer at what they are. And you can see they're color-coded. So some are inward-facing roles, some are outward-facing roles. Our org chart is, and you can see how it's vertical, it goes vertical. You can see he's got four, the CEO has four content, and then everyone else goes off of that. Our current one is much flatter structure. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I'm sure I've forgotten someone, 7 people reporting directly into me. I think they're correct. 7 people reporting into me. It's not ideal, but it is what it is at the moment. Oh, Robin's telling me, Rob. Yeah, so Rob is a building maintenance guy. He's not on that chart. That's probably what's missing there. He works for our real estate business as well. And Rob is awesome. So you see it's very flat. So 7 people reporting to me. That is not ideal. So ideal for me would be that there were 1 or 2 people that reported into me and then everyone else was beneath them. But it's just not possible at the moment. This is why I'm still in the doingness a lot, because I've got a lot of interaction. Now, there are teams of people, like there's 3 people who are on marketing, there's 3 people on customer service, and some people have crossover roles. So a lot of things happen with me, so I don't need to feel like I've got my finger in every pie. But ultimately, tomorrow will be the start meeting. I'll be the person doing the briefing and a lot of that. Everyone works, independently, and they know their roles and they have their, tasks assigned to them, but ultimately everyone reports to me. And this has built over time. So one of those roles there is new. And as I mentioned, Jenny earlier joined us in the role of marketing project coordinator. So she works within our teamwork project and she assigns all the tasks and roles and does a lot of the setup of like our email sequences and anything that's kind of a marketing project related role. Very important role. Right now, I can't see how we didn't have that role before. We did have a junior marketing coordinator who would do things like social posts, coordinate the newsletter. So Jenny's doing those things now, but her primary role is to coordinate all our projects. Because we're a project-based business, this has become a very important role to make sure all the cogs are moving in the right direction. Now, that has taken the pressure off me and it's taken the pressure off Robin, because we used to do most of that. We have other things that we're busy with. So I'd like you to do an org chart. And it can be an org chart that has just what would the ideal roles be in your business if you were looking at the business a year from now, or if you were looking at the business 2 years from now or 5 years from now. And it's going to, the roles are going to depend on what your business does and what you're going to keep in-house and what you're going to give away. But here's what you know. You're going to have some key functions. You're going to have a sales and marketing function. You're going to have an administration function that might include accounts and customer service. Right? So you're going to have outward facing, inward facing. So break it up however suits you. Then you're going to have the outsource stuff. So some of you may never want to have a graphic designer on board or a copywriter. So they might, but their role, because you're marketers and you're creating things, that you may want to identify that this is a project-based role. not actually a full-time role. So for me, our roles are, actually, if you can just go back to that chart, and I can just share that with people so that you know, okay, I can see that. I might need to blow that up a little bit. So let me see. So we have Robin, who is my executive assistant and is also a event coordinator. Again, this is very specific to our business, so you may not have that. Then we have Donna, who's our bookkeeper, but Donna knows our CRM better than anyone. And so she often dives in at a high level to that as well. JC, who puts together all our Infusionsoft campaigns and emails. Jenny, who I mentioned earlier. Natalie, who's customer service. Scott, who's our designer and content. He creates all our podcasts, videos and things. And Aries, who is our designer, digital production coordinator. I forget what all the titles are. But they're the roles that are important in our business. And, of course, PJ and I are at the top, at the strategic level. We do a lot of the planning and forecasting, and PJ oversees the financials as well. So they're the roles important for us. What that leaves to me is I do a lot of the content creation. So I have the podcast, I do the, you know, courses, I do the present the mastermind, right? So that's kind of my role. And so in an ideal world, what might be great for me is if there was an operations manager that took care of all the day-to-day, allowing me more and more to do what I'm doing. Like I said, not about to happen right now, but it's something that I would you know, look forward to happening in the future if we were going to really put the accelerator on growing this business. It would just, I would just need to get out of the day-to-day a little bit more. What role, if you're going to hire a role, what, assuming you had the funds, what role would you hire next? Go ahead and pop something in the chat. What role would you hire next that would give you the greatest leverage? Remember, we want to keep thinking about what is our vision and what are our strategic objectives. What role, if you were to fill it, really help you move faster and with less friction towards those strategic objectives? So Ange says marketing and sales. Sonia needs another collector, someone to bring in the dosh. Viv says, we're planning to hire a part-time customer service rep to handle inbound inquiries. Great. Anyone else? If you were to hire a new role, what would it be? Oh, these are great. Website developer. Okay, great. So that would be a project role, right, or a contractor or something to outsource. Sonia, salesperson to handle incoming leads. Great. Another receptionist to manage our Toowong Center. Great. Okay, marketing, I have someone set up for this. Great. Christy Lee, HR consultant who can do more basic delivery and recruitment campaigns. Deb says a PJ. For the right person, have him. And Judy says a bookkeeper. Twice. You really need a bookkeeper, Judy. Great. I see what you did. You're just correcting a typo. So think about that. What would it take to bring that person on? And it doesn't have to be a full-time role. One of the reasons I often resisted hiring is because I thought I had to have the $30,000, $50,000, $60,000, whatever it was going to cost. I thought I had to have that money right now. But the truth is you're only paying someone by the month. So really, what is your monthly revenue that you're going to need to assign to that new purpose? Not that you're going to go into a deal hiring someone knowing that you're not going to keep them, but you don't have to, you know, have all the money ready to go, right? And if they're doing the right job, then they're going to be helping build the business by doing something that maybe you're doing right now or something that's being totally overlooked. So that money should be there for them. And so it does take a leap of faith. Christy Lee says, my advice is to have 3 months' salary, contract fees ready when you hire someone so you have time for them to get up and running and be fully productive. I love that. Thank you for saying that, because what I want you to do is I want to let you know what an incredible resource Christy Lee is for you here, for all of you, for all of our members actually, right? She understands this. She works with mid-sized businesses, but she's a small business owner. She understands. And so she's a great resource for you, whether it's helping you attract someone, manage people, really tap in and see what it is she's working on and how she can help you with your people. Now, I know that happy to help anyone who has questions on this topic. You're the best. The best. A lot of love for Christy Lee Chandra, yes. Yeah, and that is really great advice, right? Quite often we're on a three-month probation. That's going to give you both an idea if you like each other, if it's working. You know, what I'm not going to go into today is, you know, all the protocol. you know, around letters of offer and contracts and all that stuff. That's not my area of expertise. And right now we are just talking very high level. Viv says, that's great advice. We hired a few years ago on the basis of freeing me to increase revenue. He didn't work out. Wrong person and role, not well enough defined by us. It was very financially painful. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if you're going to grow a team, you can expect to make the wrong hire every now and then. And I think you just get better. You get better at it. One of the things that is, so again, we talked about outsourcing and in-house, just being really clear. You don't necessarily need a web developer, right? Maria needs a web developer. It doesn't have to be an in-house person. My friend, Val, she has her own developer. She has her own website developer in the Philippines. They are a full-time staff member because her business is mostly web-based. She has a number of different websites, so she needs someone on hand, and they're in the Philippines because that's what she can afford for her business right now. All right, let's talk about people from the point of view of systems. So I mentioned earlier about the receptionists that I was, you know, that was like a turnstile. We had to put in place systems. This is how you answer the phone. You answer it on the third ring. This is exactly what you say. This is how you transfer a call. You never say someone's busy. You know, it just drives me crazy. It's like, I'm busy. Don't tell me they're busy. Right? And so just getting the person to understand the language that is right for your business, but also systems on onboarding systems, hiring systems, letting someone go systems. Everything we've talked about, briefing systems, a lot of managing your people is what are the systems. Systems are so powerful in your business. And most solopreneurs miss this point because you are not a system. What's between your ears is not a system. The only way we can leverage ourselves is to start to systemize. Now, quite often, and without pointing anybody out, I was going to mention a name and I won't, of someone you know. Even we have to step up to this. We have to step up because if there is people coming in and going out of your business and they don't work out, and this is happening multiple times, you have to look to the system, right? You want to look to the system first because it may be nothing to do with the process. Is the process documented? Is it consistent? Have you done a good job of recruiting? Was the role outlined? Like Viv has just said that the role wasn't well enough defined by them. Right? So look to the system first and leave the people alone. Sometimes it's not the people. So when things fall down here in our business, and Robin will testify to this, and something goes wrong, a customer isn't handled correctly or a marketing email has an error in it, I'm always like, okay, so what is our system for that? Because I need to look first at, is the system solid? Is it watertight? Or do we have a terrible system before I go blaming people? Now, if it continues to happen, if it's a behavioral issue, if it's a personality mismatch, if it's a role mismatch, then great. And Viv says, if you have a system, it's much easier to identify a bad hire quickly. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, again, I learned this, you know, 20-something years ago. When there's a problem, look to the system first and leave the people alone until you're sure it's not the system. And as we mentioned earlier, if it is the person, if they're just a bad match for that job, then you really want to use that idea of hire slow, fire fast. I'm not great at this, I have to say. Hire slow, fire fast. Kiyosaki used to say that all the time. It's like, there's no point. Right role, right person, right time is key. If you haven't got clarity about what you need the person to do and skills, experience, they need to be able to do that job. It's always going to be a challenge. Sage advice from Christy Lee. Right. So you want to have systems around your people, like I said, onboarding systems, those sorts of things. So to give you an example, you know, we have like a day one procedure when someone just starts with us. This is what happens on day one. This is how you get oriented. You know, we have a wiki where we set up what trainings do they need to watch, what videos did. What podcast do they need to listen to? What do they need to know? So you want to have systems around your people. Planning systems. We talked about that earlier. Briefing systems. I want to talk very quickly about hiring and firing systems. And please, Christy Lee, just jump in because this is your area of expertise. What is your process? One of our processes, again, just to give you an insight, has been when we put an ad out on Seek, what we'll do is in the ad for application, we will build in a question that someone who is not paying attention will miss. And we always say, if you don't include a cover letter or I can't remember what the process is exactly. You will not go to stage two, but we outline that part one is your application through Seek, please attach to these three things. The people who get, and we get hundreds of spammy things along with really great applications. The spammy people have usually not missed the instructions that was include this, this, and this. The second step, if they get through that process, might be going back with a couple of questions, or it moves to, the shortlist moves to a phone interview. I do not open up my doors and interview people. I do not. We do written application. If they get past that stage, it becomes phone interview. Sometimes I don't even do those. Someone else does them. And the third part is the face-to-face interview. And I try and bring it down to 4 to 5 people that I will interview face-to-face. Anna says, I do the cover letter thing because I need good attention to detail. No cover letter, they go in the bin. Same thing. You want to, if there's someone who said, you're saying in your role description, they need to have great attention to detail and you're finding typos or they've missed an instruction, or they have great grammar and you're finding typos, right? You want to use the clues that are there for you. So for us, that was it. It's a Seek application, phone interview, in-person interview. If in the in-person interview, I get a really good feeling about them, I might get them to demonstrate their ability by doing some sort of, you know, that might be, depends what the role is. It might be a proofreading test. It might be write an email, schedule a post, whatever it is. There's a whole, you know, sense to how do you interview people. There's loads of resources available for you. How do they demonstrate ability? Those ones that I get a really good feeling about and they've checked all the boxes, I will put them through some sort of diagnostic. It could be the DISC profile. It could be an Enneagram. I wouldn't do Enneagram, but some of you might. Strength Finders, Colby. We use Colby, K-O-L-B-E. And so everyone we hire goes through that system. That is a system I know, I trust, I've done the training, I'm a certified Colby person, even though I did it like 15 years ago. It's part of our hiring system, right? It's part of our hiring system. Sonia says, if they can complete a DISC profile test, they go in the, if they can complete, I think you mean if they can't, I'm not sure what you mean. They can't complete a DISC profile, they go in the bin too. So DISC is, again, a diagnostic tool. It just allows you to know who's on your team and you know that some roles are better suited for some. I don't like personality tests. I like tests that allow you to see how someone performs under pressure or in their role. But that is a hiring system. We're not talking about firing systems today, interviewing systems. So again, I've sort of outlined a little bit about how our interview systems have worked for some of our roles. Written application, phone interview, in-person interview, do the Colby, get the letter of offer, come on board sort of thing. But what do you do in an interview? Again, it's not ad hoc. In fact, I'm going to give you some resources. Like, what sort of questions do you ask in an interview? That's going to help you attract the right people. Because it's not a chit chat. You don't have to like each other. You want to look at, well, what am I measuring for? Am I measuring for skill? Am I measuring for personality and fit to the team? What am I going by? Because it's an important decision when you are bringing someone into your organization, that this is the hire slow idea. It's like, get your ducks in a row, get your hiring system in place, speak to Christy Lee, you know, really research what you're doing. Christy Lee says, love diagnostics, especially for some positions and instructions. What you want them to do next within the ad is a great tool that I use too. If they don't follow the instructions, they are out. Maria says, Canva uses Fingerprint for Success, an assessment tool. They measure attitudes and motivations in the work. I've done the training for this. Great. So it almost doesn't matter which tool you use as long as you're consistent with it. So like I said, we've used Colby, so I know everyone's Colby. Mine usually sits around here somewhere. I know everyone's Colby so that I know, and we used it firstly when we had the bigger team and we were very heavy on people who fall into what Colby calls fact finder. So everybody was in the minutia and we didn't have enough people who had the follow through, and we had quite a few quick starts, you know, people who were just like out the gate, and not enough people who were implementers who were, anyway, you get to know these tools, but you find one, you stick to it. Yeah, and it doesn't matter which one it is, but for me, we use Colby. The other thing I wanted to say, and this, I don't know where I first heard this, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. What I mean by that is if someone shows up in a way on your team that makes your gut churn a little bit or has you question, and this can happen in the interview stage, it can happen when they're on board, trust yourself. Oprah and Dr. Phil. I don't know that I heard it on Oprah or Dr. Phil, but hey, why not? Gospel. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. And so I remember interviewing a girl and I had a good feeling about her, but as soon as she was offered the role, she then told me that she'd booked a vacation in the next few months. At that point, in my gut, I thought, that's not cool. You've had three opportunities to tell me this already and you didn't. Christy Lee's nodding her head. And I should have never brought her on, because she turned out to be always a little bit slippery, always a little bit tricky. And I think she actually stayed for 2 years, but I never 100% trusted her after that because of that omission. So when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Are they late for the interview? And do they not call to say they're running late? You know, are they? And really those first 3 months are your key to giving them the best chance, giving them all the tools, all the training, all the resources, all the planning, all the briefings, and using that time to determine if they're the right person. But what we each want to be, I think, very careful of is not holding on to people because we're so desperate for someone to do the work that we hold on to people who aren't right. High, slow, fire, fast is a cliche, but it's so true, says Viv Kane. Do they have your back? Yeah. I want to talk about communication systems very quickly. And so for us, we have a Wednesday morning meeting. I think I've told you about this. We've always had a Wednesday morning meeting. It happens, you know, it might be once a year. It doesn't happen on a Wednesday morning for some reason, but it happens whether I'm here or not, whether PJ's here or not. That is our team meeting. Now, when I was spending 10 weeks in New York last year, we introduced a daily huddle. So on the days that isn't our team meeting, we do a daily huddle, which can last between 15 minutes and 20 minutes. Sometimes it goes a bit longer, but generally not. This is our communication system. So from a high level, we have our briefings, we have our team meeting where we go more in depth, and then we have our daily huddle, which is sort of a top line. Now, is that over communicating? I don't think so. Ever since we implemented the daily huddle, we all kind of know what each other's working on. And because we're a dispersed workforce, we don't get to talk all day about what the other person's doing. So sometimes someone's done something really awesome they let us know about, or they're waiting on you for something or you, someone else, and that gets communicated very quickly and we can sort of really fast track things. And so what are your communication systems? Do you have a weekly meeting? If not, put one in place, even if it's with one other person, right? Because it's a different conversation than the casual one you'll have over doing a task. It's about, here we are, here's our projects, here's where we're at. Do you have any questions? Now, in our meeting, we do a couple of things. We go around the circle and we have what we call a what I feel like saying. Some of you know what that is. I have to catch up. There's something else going on here in the chat. But so we have a couple of rituals. One, we go around the circle and we say whatever we feel like saying. It's a process that we have. Some of you will know. The next one is we do an acknowledgement. So we're acknowledging someone on the team or ourselves for something. Then we look at our stats, and we have a set of stats we look at. We look at our website visitors and we look at how many of those are returning, how many are new. We look at all the registrations for the different events, how many new leads, where did they come from, just some key line things. And then we move into each person, some of the team members reporting in. So Robin will give us a rundown on what events we have coming up in the next 7 days. Jenny will talk about where we are with projects. I will do something, Scott will talk about the marketing, right? People report in, and then it's just a general any questions. And so it allows us to connect. It allows us to talk about, you know, things that we don't get to talk about, and it keeps us connected. So I want you to put in place a communication system that is not ad hoc, not just meeting when you have something to say, but just meeting for the sake of building that relationship, to connect with your people, even if it is one other person. I'm just going to read what you've got here. Deb says, are different systems for different industries or roles? I'm not sure how to answer that. If you want to give a little more information, I might be able to help there. Sonia Milyoki says, I had someone lie to me about how much they were earning and use this for negotiating a high salary, so I didn't think this was a good start and decided not to go ahead. Good. Be really rigorous also, and Christine, I'm sure, has some ideas with your, what do you call them? You call someone up to get a referral. Because people get their friends to do it, etc. You want to just be really, really rigorous. Viv says, hi, Sonia, good work. Good move, Sonia. Couldn't believe it was Sonia. I know. Vivian, that's so true. Reference checks. Yes, that's what they are. Reference checks. Thank you. It didn't happen with a referral. I asked for the original contract. So they caught themselves out. Yeah, interesting. Usually that when someone shows you who they are, I mean, the way someone leaves is often an indicator of who they are too, right? I remember, you know, I've had staff who've given me 3 months' notice, you know, because they're just that sort of person. They're the sort of person people I want to work with, you know, or we've negotiated to go from 3 days to 2 days or 2 days to 3 days or whatever those things are. It's the person that leaves you in the lurch. It's like, well, that's just who they are as a person, but, you know, I should have seen that coming. Yeah, all righty. Okay, we're getting close to sort of transitioning to, I want to open up your lines, I want to see where you're at, but here's one of the resources I'm going to give you. It's called your Breakthrough Growth Plan. It's just a 30-day or three-month, you make it up, plan around your people. So that's something we're going to make available to you later. The other thing is inside of your library, there are some resources. There's articles, there's webinars, there's writing the right job app, there's a quick reference for how to analyze a job, how to ask interview questions, things to know about human resource management. There's a little video I did about outsourcing and virtual assistants. You want to look at those resources. You want to tap into Christy Lee's expertise. I know she's got a podcast coming out as well. And any resources you have, Christy Lee, post them in the group. Like anything you think might be useful, like that we can tap into, would be great. Viv says, when I check, I always ask, would you hire them again? It often will encourage a more honest conversation. Yeah, same. That's one I ask as well. Sonia says, I just did what my last employer did and asked for proof of employment. So ask for employment contract. Got it. So those things are available to you. So here's what I'd love for you to consider doing over the next month. First is doing your breakthrough growth plan, which is the thing that I just showed you, which is just like your 30 or 90-day plan for people. And then I've said choose your own adventure. Do you want to create an org chart for the business for 2020, or do you want to create an org chart for 2 years from now? Is it about documenting your ideal role, starting right there, or deciding what you're going to outsource? Or is it about hiring your next team member, perhaps someone you mentioned earlier that is what you need right now? You can hire them on a part-time basis. Now, here's one of the things, my experience is that if you hire someone part-time, then you decide you need them full-time. Those people who are part-time workers may not always have the capacity to go full-time. But if all you can afford is someone 2 days a week at the moment, you can do that, right? Donna has worked with us for 12 years. She works 2 days a week. She's incredible. You think she's here every day because, but in her heart, she is. She's often working in the background at home, getting little things done because she's a, we call her our angel and hacker. She has two sides. She's a master hacker and she's also an angel. All right. So they are the study tasks, and we will put those in your post-session email, and we will also put them inside of the Facebook group. So we are talking people. So what I want to do before we move on, I want to open up your lines and tell me what your thoughts are in regards to people. What are you ruminating on as a result of the conversation we've had today? Sonia Filorta, you're up first.
Oh, okay. Well, funny, it's a good topic for me because I've actually had a lady leave after 13 years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and like, you know, she's got to move on for her reasons. It's all good, which is great. So for me, I'm going to look at organising myself with an organisational chart, like you've mentioned, and have a proper system in place and then move forward.
Sounds good. Good. Yeah. And feel free to post that in the group if you need feedback on it or you're just not sure. You know, yeah, let us help.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Christy Lee.
Yes, I'm looking to grow the team again this year, but I'm going to approach that very differently to when I previously had a team of direct employees in an office. So looking at contractors and outsourced arrangements as a team rather than direct employees. So there'll be a couple more of those coming on this year. Not sure exactly what the next one will be though.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Anna.
Well, I've just had a staff member resign who I was looking to exit anyway. So it's worked out really well. a little procrastination does help sometimes. I've got a former staff member who worked for me 5 years ago who is also Anna and is actually a mini me. she wants to come back, so yay. And I've also organised with my two senior team members, Janet and Nick. We're actually going to do a couple of full-day meetings on a weekend at either centre so they can both get a feel for the actual centres as well. We're going to work out how we take Big Anna out of the equation. So it's going ahead. That's great.
And you know what I love about what you just said is our teams often want us to get out of the way.
They do. Mine do. They're like, piss off, Anna. Sorry.
Thanks, Anna. You're right. Joe.
Well, I've just put in a proposal for a big project, which if I get, I will be doing quite a bit of outsourcing. Plus, my daughter by then will be back on board. So that would be great to have someone permanent that I can talk to. I love your idea of creating an org plan, even though I don't have anyone to put in it yet, but the plan is good. So I'm going to do that.
Very good. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, especially for that project, I really need to organize. Yep.
Yeah. And no, you can do that. You can increase and decrease. I remember when we had our events business, we would sometimes 50% more people would be on board when we had a big tour. So there'd be temps and people's kids and teenagers and all sorts of people would bring them in and let them go. So you want to just scale and you do have the option to scale and then decrease again. Judy.
Hi. Yeah, I need to outsource quite a bit of my work as far as bookkeeping. We already outsource websites and things, but I've got to revisit that area, and that would free up time to work on our staff who are long-term, which is all good. But, yeah, I need to put in systems for them so they know their roles properly and
And bookkeeping is a good one. Is a good one to start with, you know, and it's not a big commitment. It can be one day a month. It could be 2 days a month. It depends on the size of your business and the complexity of your financials. Yeah. That's a great one to get off your plate.
We have a lot of little bits of paper, which is very time consuming. Yeah,
got it. Well, that'd be great to free you up to do more of those fabulous marketing campaigns like you did at Christmas. Maria.
My word for 2020 is manifestation. So the org chart, planning for that, is a good thing to have on the list to do. And one of my roles I think I'd like to outsource is some of the social media. And I've got a lot of my newsletters I'd like to upload, like my blog post onto my website, as well as just tweaking, you know, pop-ups and things like that on my website. So you really like to outsource all that stuff.
Yeah, very good. And I love outsourcing. Kay, hi, great to see you.
I think I've been, more recently I've slipped back into my solopreneur position. And so I'm looking at navigating out of that again. But I do, in terms of outsourcing, mostly what I do is I just do like small project outsourcing. So, you know, I have somebody for my website and I have someone who I'm about to, I've worked with before on my lead magnet, getting all that stuff uploaded with my MailChimp and all that stuff. And then I've got a different person for, you know, I wanted someone to do filming on things. So they're people that I kind of have them around and then I just use them or I don't use them, depending on probably where I'm the stuck bit.
Well, you bring a really good point, and that is we can be a solopreneur, but we do need these other people around us when we need them. And building those relationships, and this is what I've done before, like briefing, communicating, staying in touch with, even if there are this virtual team that you only use now and then, some of the same things will apply about how to work them, how to manage those relationships, how to keep those relationships so that they do go, oh, great, another job from Kay. You know, there's so much we can do from a leadership perspective. Thank you. I'm just going to see here. Anna sounds like you have cloned yourself, the mini me. Anna's so happy you got your Anna back. She wants a Sonia too. And Chandra says, we've missed her and the team was very excited that she was keen to return. Oh, I'll have my dream team together again. Oh, isn't that great? Isn't that great when you love your team? I love our team. Angela.
Hi,
Ange. Sorry. Sorry. Must have thought you were back at school for a minute.
That's all right. I hired a VA just before Christmas, so that was my first time out, which was great because I was trying to make that mocktail book for 2.5 years, so she brought that to fruition with me.
Oh, fantastic.
And this morning when I was on my walk, I actually thought that I might look at hiring a virtual assistant from overseas to do, because I've just got a lot of content that I could put together, but I can't put it together as quick as they can. So that's where I'm looking now. So it's been really good.
Yeah. And inside the member group, you might find someone who's using someone that's really good who has some extra capacity. Yeah, and Sonia Falloy saying, Angela can put you onto someone.
Yep, that'd be terrific.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chandra. Oh, hang on, you must be muted at your end.
Hello.
Hello. You haven't packed those books.
Oh my God, Susie. Do not talk about the war. yes. It's an ongoing project, but the builder decided to come early. So, yeah. Anyway, the next time you see me, those books will not be there, maybe. So for me, my actions, I'm going to do that org chart. It was so funny. I literally just written it as a little action before you said it because I thought, why don't I have one? My other specific things is I hired on an initial 3-month trial. She calls herself an online business manager. So she is a virtual assistant. She's based here in Australia. She has broad skills, so can do things like map out email campaigns, inactive campaign and all those sorts of things. And there were some things that she's done so far, which were really great to have someone to flick it to. But then there were some things that I was like, I'm not really sure I'm getting value. And right. So I have had that realization a while ago that my communication of expectations of her and her communication to me wasn't good. I didn't set it up well to give her the best shot of delivering on my expectations. So I've got another month of that. So I want to really look at how do I up level my communication so that I can make best use of her and decide what I need ongoing versus ad hoc. So that's one thing. And also off the back of last month's focus on the money zone, there was something that was brought up in one of the calls that has prompted me to think that I want to connect with my bookkeeper and accountant more often, and rather than just flicking stuff, but actually asking them to help me with a budget to help me have a look at some other things, and accountant wise checking in to make sure that where I'm putting money and how I'm invoicing and all that sort of thing is right for our structure. So they're my actions.
That's great. I want to pick up on one of the things that Chandra just said, and that was about this person who was doing some things really well and other things not. And one of the mistakes that we can make is that we get a general virtual assistant and they're like, well, I can do all these things. But if you think about it from an organizational perspective, someone who's really good at customer service and numbers and admin is probably not going to be the same person that's going to be really good at your social, writing your social media posts, etc. And so people might bill themselves as a general VA, but it's really not usually a good route to go down. You're better off having two people, fewer hours, but who have that area of expertise. Because I wouldn't get like my bookkeeper to write my copy, right? So you just want to, it seems efficient, but it's unlikely that one person's going to have, even though they've got broad skills, they're going to have some things that they're really good at and things they're not good at. Sonia Maloki.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, yeah.
I've decided to hire, my first hire this year will be like Christy Lee in terms of bringing on board either a contractor or somebody who can work from their own space or the sales function, because in the second quarter, because the first quarter is still about launching the campaigns, launching the new website. And I don't want to be my calendar to be having all these strategic sessions. So I'll probably speak to you again, Christy Lee, but I was thinking commission-based sales role and making sure they're trained up, obviously, before they go into that role. So I think that's a big thing for me, letting go sales, because I've always been the same. But I do know, I do want to grow the business, and I need to do that because my calendar is, I want to focus more on content.
Right. Very good. Yeah. I'm glad that you've tapped into Christy Lee's expertise too. And Deb, I think you're muted at your end. You've straightened yourself up. I think you're muted.
There we go.
There you are. Hi.
Hello. We've just, the only reason I was asking about the different strategies was we've only just done a hire last week, and I've never used any tools. I've looked at Enneagrams and things like that. I've never used any tools before, but I really just went on, okay, what do I need? I thought of rocket fuel, and I thought, we don't need any more visionaries in our business.
You need an integrator.
We've got enough visionaries. So that was it, really the questions I asked her. If you were given a task, you know. So that was more like everyone was just throwing around different names of different systems that they use.
Right.
Using Colby and DISC and then all these. And I'm going, oh, there's so many out there. That's what I was asking, meaning by are there different ones for different industries, or are they just a general, you know, if someone's doing, you know, manufacturing, is it different than someone in an office or?
Right, for the tools. I don't think so. I mean, I have, friends in all sorts of industries, and they're all using, you know, strength finders or whatever it is, because the questions are more about their people's, it's not about their role, it's more around their behavior, how they approach a task, that sort of thing. But yeah, do go ahead and post it. I think that's a great one.
So I thought I'd do that and see what comes out of that. But yeah, so you know, we're definitely in a hiring stage, so it's been perfect today, and I will do the org chart as well. So
Oh well, I want to see all your org charts. That's fantastic. Thank you, Deb.
Thank you.
Chrissy Lee says, Joe, I think it depends on the VA. Mine has skills in this space, but it would depend on who you engage. You could definitely look for a VA with these specific skills if that is what your need is. And Joe says, thanks, guys. Where do you find your VAs? Ange says, I have contact as an overseas VA, but yet to check them out. I currently am using a VA for only 1 hour a week. Wow. Which has been so helpful, I can give you the name of mine. And Joe says, I'm going to look at Pointer Remote Roles, which has regional Australia people who contract their skills. Great. And Maria says, people in other business groups have used this website to source VAs. It's called onlinejobs.ph. It must be Philippines. There's another one. What is it? Chris Ducker, D-U-C-K-E-R, has a virtual staff finder. It's called Virtual Staff Finder, which is like they do all the recruiting and then they give you the selection of the last few people and then you recruit. I think that's pretty much for like a full-time virtual role rather than a, you know, I need someone 1 hour a week, et cetera. But this is a great question also, Joe, to put inside of the members group where there are lots of members using virtual assistants. Viv, hey.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. This has been perfect timing for me.
Good.
We've been since we hired and then didn't manage very well a store manager, we've gone back into Nick and I both doing a lot of the technician role, and it's come to the point where we've got to do something about it. And we have an absolute deadline because we have a daughter who's recently become engaged to an Englishman and they're getting married next year in Melbourne, but they're having a reception in London after that. And of course we have to be there. And our business is set up in a way that taking a couple of weeks off while the business is running, we have never done that. So it's, I was thinking, Susie, it's a little bit like you going to New York. It's like, wow, we've really got to set the business up. And that's the motivation for us putting a part-timer on.
So, that's great. Whatever the motivation is, because that's going to be there when you come back as well. You know what I mean? Whatever you set up. How exciting. So congratulations as well.
Yeah, we've got about 18 months before that's going to happen. But my plan is to have the person on board, hopefully for about 12 months before we go. So the whole system is well and truly set up and we're getting all the benefits of freeing me up. So I definitely need a part-time mini-me. this has been really helpful because I've also been thinking, oh, maybe there's a transition kind of crossover thing where we could have some of this as a online, like a VA type person. Eventually it does need to be somebody who's actually in the office. But it's kind of opened my mind up to think a little bit more laterally about how we might approach it. So no, perfect timing. Excellent.
Good to have you here. I'm glad to hear that. And how nice to have a trip to London on the horizon. Very exciting.
Absolutely.
And a wedding and a reception and all those things. Very good. So please post progress in the group, your org charts that you might have feedback on or just to share that you've done it. Think about your hour of power. You might want to find now a time in your calendar to do your hour of power on people strategy. You want to keep checking along on your January to March project, whatever it is that you're working on. And we have an implementation day coming up, which I am so excited about. This is our third and final implementation day for this cycle of the Agile Business Accelerator. And we have got some awesome things planned for you. So the details you've had for a little while, but just to reiterate, they are the 11th of February. It's at the same venue in Sydney, the UTS Aerial Functions Centre, which is at the University of Technology. There is an RSVP link that Robin's going to put in chat. And for those of you who are watching the recording inside of the email, there'll be a link. And also we will be sending a specific email that's just about that day as well. We do still have that masterclass with PJ on the 29th, which is about the money growth zone. So just a reminder that is coming up. I guess that's next week. The link of things Robin will make available to you. It will be recorded if you can't be there live. But what I do want to do is I'm going to, and Robin, just remind me. See, I love my team. Robin's right there listening to me down my brain. I do want to make questions open to idealists to be able to ask some money questions that Peter can answer on the call. That would be great. We are working on the summit. As I mentioned, some of you have already registered. It is keeping me very, very busy. It's coming up on the 3rd of February, which, as I said, is now just a couple of weeks away. We have 12 speakers confirmed, and I've got a couple of other people that I've got invitations out to, but I'm thinking this morning, and this is, again, just relevant to what we're talking about, that I'm thinking that I might keep it at 12 amazing speakers and just turn my attention to more promotion and marketing and what happens after the summit, rather than going, well, I could do with a couple more speakers, right? So just making a decision from a people perspective, me as like one of the key resources for creating content, do I need to stay on that task? Can I be utilized in a better way? And so just this morning, I thought, you know what? I've got 12 amazing speakers. And if you haven't checked them out, we've got four more that I don't know that you know about. Lisa Sasevich, who I absolutely adore, who is in the area of sales conversions. Marie Folio, who you probably definitely know, who is incredible. A man called Nicholas Wilton, who is an artist and a great business owner. He's got thousands of people in his membership, and he's going to be talking about creating a business that really reflects who you are. And Kate Northrup, who's written a couple of books, one of which is called Money, A Love Story. I mentioned her on our money workshop last month. So they're the four that we haven't done an email about yet and haven't released publicly. But the lineup is really, really incredible between Gabby Bernstein and Micah Kalowitz, who is one of the only ones from last year that I wanted back again. He's got a new book coming out. So that's all coming up. We opened up the pop-up Facebook group last night. There's a couple of hundred people, I think, almost in that there. So do get in there. It's a great way for you to network and a way for you, people to get to know you in a totally different way. These are people who are not members who might be able to make use of your services. And so I sent an email yesterday afternoon to invite you to join the group, and you should be able to go through because I'm a member of the group to, you know, get instant access. So you want to do that. And Deb says, can't wait until Sydney. Always love the live events. And she's got two little champagne glasses clinking there. Love it. I want to thank you all so much for being here today. I've loved connecting with you. For those of you who couldn't be here live, thank you for watching the recording, and let us know what your people plans are. We're going to be back together again in, I don't know when it is, a couple of weeks with our Q&A call around people. So I look forward to answering your questions then. And have a great day wherever you are. Whatever you're doing today, I hope it all goes well. And bye, everyone. Yeah, Joe's saying bye. Bye for now. See you all soon.